Hi, welcome to BA Brew. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Stu.
I'm Dom.
I'm Claire.
Today we're talking about the subject of music and business analysis, and this is a topic that was suggested by Dom. Dom, what caused you to write in to babrew@ciskd.com with this suggestion of a subject for us to talk about on the brew?
Actually, I was inspired by a past episode of BA Brew on the Black Belt BA and how we can bring our outside home interest into our work environment. And also it made me, so I'm I play piano, and you can see it in the background there. I go to a local jazz jam, which takes place about every 2 months, and it's a very nerve-wracking experience, but I like doing it. And it struck me that music, and for me jazz music in particular, has a lot of parallels with being a BA. So there's a lot about having a body of knowledge, practicing techniques, sort of practicing things on your own and in small groups, in order to enable you to improvise and think on your feet. And for me, that moment when you walk up to the stage and, you know, your the tummy falls and the ground opens up beneath you, for me also it has parallels a little bit with so when I've done facilitation, which I really enjoy, but again, there's kind of the nerves there. And what it's taught me a little bit with jazz is to try and be in the moment. And I guess to embrace discomfort, so to be comfortable with discomfort. And in that situation, actually, you then sort of, I guess, open and listening to what other people are doing and able to learn from that.
Brilliant. And I'm not sure if listeners noticed, but there's a slightly different intro music for today, and that's because Dom played the BA Brew theme tune using the piano, I think, behind you, Dom, and you've had to experiment with recording, and so I hope it all works out and it sounds good for the listeners. But yeah, it's Dom playing the piano, the BA Brew theme tune. So I'm going to go to Claire, what's your musical background? How did you get into music, and how did you get on this brew? Because I know why you're here, but good. Was you to think you'd want to join a podcast talking about music and business analysis?
Well, I'm a fellow pianist as well, and Stu is aware of that, so I think that's the kind of route in. But I grew up in a household of seeing lots of piano playing all the time. My uncles, my great uncles played, and I was really admiring of them and thought it was a lot of fun. So did what a lot of kids in the UK do and get shipped off to classical piano lessons, which wasn't really my bag. But it was a really good grounding in the fundamentals. And then I guess after that, I in my teens, I started to get an interest in kind of blues and jazz. Like Dom, my parents played a lot of that type of music, but I didn't really have access to anyone to learn from at the time. And the internet was relatively new. So it wasn't really until kind of about 5 or 6 years ago, I was lucky enough to get a boogie woogie piano player mentor and to take me under his wing, an apprentice effectively with him, because I think when, you know, you get to a certain level of detail that you want to understand with a genre, you really need to, be mentored and work with a performing musician. And that's been quite life-changing for me. But I've had to overcome terrible kind of stage fright and nerves. So I fully understand what Dom says. And, you know, I'm sure we can talk a lot about imposter syndrome and all that good stuff.
And I've got to ask, what is a boogie woogie piano? I'm not sure I know what it is, or just for the listeners and watchers as well. What is a boogie woogie piano?
So I'm guessing a lot of you have heard Jules Holland, the very, very upbeat style that Jules plays. Well, that is boogie woogie piano. So it's a very fast, upbeat, dancing style of blues.
Right. And then Stu, what's your background in music? If you're happy to share.
Well, yeah, nothing quite so exciting, really. I'm self-taught. I had a handful of lessons as a young child, and didn't continue with it, but picked it up again sort of late teenage years, but teaching myself. And I mean, I'm sure we'll come on to the parallels with business analysis, but yeah, not having kind of formal tuition and sort of feeling my way with it. I I still play, you know, on vibes rather than technique, possibly. My finger work is not great, so I struggle with some things. But I like the music I play. Still play every day.
And I can see the piano behind you as well, Stu. So it's kind of, there's a piano battle going on. Don's piano's in the background and yours is as well. And Claire, you've got multiple pianos in your house, haven't you, I think?
Yeah, we'd best move on from that.
It's in trouble. So, parallels there, there's loads, but I should add as well. So I'm a complete novice and I would put myself in the not very good at playing piano. I did, in terms of a category, so I did try some piano lessons and it wasn't the classical piano lessons, but I went along with my then 5-year-old son to some piano lessons with a teacher and got used to positions and the middle C and was kind of learning. And then she moved away and I, unfortunately, I didn't carry on. I didn't find a new piano teacher. But I found it really quite relaxing because it took so much concentration because I wasn't very good at it to play the little tunes that I was trying to play. But I haven't stuck with it. So I haven't had the discipline and the focus to go back to piano lessons. But who knows, maybe I'll pick it up again in the future. Right, so what I thought I'd do is do the parallels. And we've started to talk about some parallels, but I can see some coming through already. So Stu, you being self-taught, I think there's a lot of business analysts that are self-taught as well. Do you think there's a parallel there?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, just framing it really against my BA career, and yeah, I sort of fell into business analysis as a lot of people do, and you know, you're doing the role before anyone tells you that that's what you are. It was only when I started pursuing certifications and I started doing the BA diploma, and I mean, that's almost the equivalent would be learning some musical theory, and you start understanding how these things fit together. And that lets you start deploying some of what you've learnt a bit more effectively and a bit more creatively. And I think that's kind of how I've progressed there. I started over the years and building up more of the theoretical knowledge that lets me hang together the things I've been fumbling my way through.
But then you've not gone to a piano tutor, is that right, Stu? So is that a barrier? Maybe one day you'll go to a piano tutor, or have you gone to one?
I keep saying one day I'll go and get a teacher. There's a lot of bad habits that I'm going to need to iron out. Things about the way I move around the piano. My counting is atrocious. I can count to four, apparently. There's a lot of things I'd have to go right back to basics on.
Yeah. And then, Dom, parallels for you to business analysis? What would you jump in with, a big parallel that you think there is?
So I was interested by what Stu was saying. And I think there's a lot around feeling comfortable with techniques and what you learn. And I think there's a danger when you're beginning with an instrument or with being a BA that you apply templates and techniques fairly rigidly. And as you become more comfortable and relaxed, you can kind of adapt to the situation. The other aspect, I thought I might bring Poppet in here, actually, because there's like for playing live, there's kind of you need to be aware of the context, basically. You need to be aware of what other people are doing, and with jazz and with blues as well. With a lot of these standards that have been played many, many years, there have been some very famous versions. So firstly, you need to be, it's always helpful to have those in the back of your mind, to be aware of the history, the kind of people that were playing it, what they did, how you can make it interesting. But also on the day, on the night, you know, to respond to what's just been played. So the danger, again, with like any conversational facilitation, is you're thinking about the next question, and to try and be comfortable enough to actually listen to what's gone before you. And I think just to be aware of, you know, you can kind of pick up when what you're doing is okay or not. So it's obviously quite visceral in a performance. So you've got the audience there, and you can kind of tell if they're energized or not. And I guess they often say also in music that it's about making other people look good. So, you know, what you do, and particularly with the piano, as I know Clarence, you will know, is often our role is accompanying as well. So it's knowing when to, you know, go high in the volume and when just to step back and let others take the spotlight.
Wow. So, there's loads of themes there. Listening, confidence, teamwork, all from, and then managing your nerves as, you know, and your excitement, I imagine, as well, because I'm guessing sometimes you get so carried away, you get really excited, and we might do that as BAs when we're presenting or facilitating as well. So there's loads of parallels in there. I'd never thought about Pop It and playing the piano, but yeah, organizational, people, process, and then information and technology. I mean, yeah, it's all there in that playing a piano, which I'd never thought of that particular link, Dom. Claire, parallels for you that you think, right, these are my big parallels between these two things?
Yeah, I think for me, the concept of practice as a journey rather than a destination is a big one. Because, I mean, particularly if we think about the book 123 BA Tools and Techniques, you know, when you're first entering the profession, that can feel overwhelming. And then you're only getting to practice perhaps what you're getting exposed to on a particular project. So then if you're, you know, if there is a technique or a type of project you're really interested in, you know, you may have to wait for that to come up. But I think understanding that there's more than one way to practice your skills and that doesn't need to be on a live project was a big learning point for me. So it's okay to go back to a previous project and maybe dry run offline away from your stakeholders. Mm-hmm. One or more techniques to see how you might have applied them. And that's absolutely valid learning. I guess the parallel with the piano is that I think what surprises perhaps a lot of non-musicians is just how much practice that we actually do away from the piano. Particularly when you're trying to, and that kind of parallels again with the kind of zooming in and out that we do as a BA when it comes to detail versus not. So if you're trying to memorize a song or a standard, as Dom was referring to, you may first of all think, well, how many verses and how many choruses are there? And you'll get the overall structure of the song. And then you'll start to zoom into more detail and learn specific parts. But if you just rely on muscle memory when you're actually at the piano, of your fingers knowing where to go, you're not really using all modes at that point. So what I know works, because I've kind of studied it quite a lot, because for years I thought I had a terrible memory and I just wasn't practicing enough away from the piano, is that often, particularly when I'm walking, I'll be running through the song in my head and my fingers will kind of be moving as I'm walking along next to me, and that really, really, really helps to cement it. So that kind of conscious practice but not necessarily at point of execution is really valuable.
Wow. So, Claire, I've got a taekwondo grading next week and I have to learn a sequence of pattern, these movements in a pattern. And you've just helped me. So while I'm walking the dog tomorrow evening, I don't want to do the moves in the park because I'm not sure it'll look too good, especially if I fall over flat on my face. But just going through in your head and getting yourself ready and getting yourself in that moment. Claire, I wanted to pick up on, you mentioned you went for some coaching with a mentor that seemed to have a massive impact. Is there parallels in terms of in business analysis, that role of a mentor or a coach or a guide? Have you had that in your career?
I have. I've been very, very lucky. In my BA career, I had some coaching very early on, which was really valuable because I'm the only BA in my organisation. I kind of got no one else to learn from. So that was really helpful to get feedback of kind of knowing where to start. But although that was relatively early on, I think it can be valuable at any point. So if I talk about the parallel with piano, I already had a degree of competence at that point. I could play, I could read sheet music. I was, you know, reasonably au fait with blues as a genre. I knew a lot of the patterns. There's chord patterns that are fairly common. There's a 12 bar blues pattern that's fairly common. So the dynamic with a mentor then is completely different, because I actually had to audition because he wanted to be sure that I had a certain level of ability. What he said was, you can swing, because he didn't want to have to teach me to swing. He wanted to teach me the kind of nuances of that style of blues music. So I guess picking understanding what you want from mentorship, depending on where you are in your career, and then also thinking about what that means in terms of when you may be able to start to give back as well, because you don't need to be an expert. As I say, it comes back to that practice as a journey. You know, you've probably got something to give at any point in your career, both as someone, you know, who can deliver mentoring as well as receive it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love and that honesty that mentor shared with you. They didn't want to mentor you on the basics. They wanted to do the more complex things, but that kind of trust and transparency, openness right up front, sound like it helped with the relationship. Brilliant. Stu, when are you at your best with playing music? Are you happy to share with us?
When am I at my best?
Yeah.
Well, I'm torn because I have a tendency to stay in my comfort zone and play the things I know. But I also do really enjoy cracking something new or discovering new things. I mean, I think understanding a bit about how music works actually drives you to some places you might not have thought of going. I've found myself exploring types of music that I would not have listened to otherwise, and finding it interesting, sort of how does this work? Like, how's this actually put together? You know, what are the nuts and bolts of this? And that, yeah, I really enjoy that. There's always something new.
Wow. And then I've got loads of random questions because I'm interested. So any of you find it helps with creativity? So do you find that your passion in music helps you with being creative generally? Is there a link to creativity? Dom, any thoughts on that one?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love what Stu and Claire have been saying, just about being away from the instrument. You find things going on in the background. I'm part of an online sort of jazz learning community called Learn Jazz Standards. There's a different standard each month that you learn, and you learn it by ear. And that, I guess that's the first thing, the first step, I guess, towards being a bit more creative. I find that with sheet music, I get a bit sort of hidebound by that. But so what I find actually is you get so immersed in it and you have the playlist. So you have lots of different versions of the same standard. So there's an element of obsession about it. But you kind of find the music playing in the back of your head. And even many people on the community say, they'll actually wake up in the morning and it's like their brain is already playing like a hi-fi system. There's like a room downstairs in your mind where the music's already playing. So I find that fascinating that while we're going about our day, sleeping, whatever, that something in our brain is going on. And the other thing, sometimes I find, you know, now we're working from home quite a lot more nowadays, that if I'm a bit stuck on something or just need a break, it kind of helps us to turn around, play the piano for 5 minutes, and you just get to a different part of your brain. So yeah, I think I find piano helps with being creative and approaching things maybe in a slightly different way. Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, for stress management, resilience, it's an outlet. It can be at certain points. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Claire, do you find it helps with creativity and resilience? Or
yeah, I mean, for years I thought I'm never, ever going to be able to write my own original music because that just seemed like such a mountain to climb. But when you actually start to study how you can go about it, there's actually a relatively limited number of things that you can do. And although that might seem a little bit textbook and slavish to begin with, for me, I just found a method that works. So there's applying a little bit of creative constraint. So maybe I'll pick a key signature and I'll pick a certain pattern of chords. And then I might just pick a riff, a particular little pattern that I like the sound, maybe even something in an existing song. And then I'll start challenging myself. It's that kind of yes and or what if type conversation. So what if I play it backwards? What if I play it over two bars instead of one? What if I add some passing notes in? Or what if I split it into two and just take the end of it? And so you just end up kind of bending this riff completely out of shape, and I've written entire songs off the back of that. So I guess to bring that to the BA work is that, you know, sometimes it's frustrating to have constraints on projects, but actually they can be quite liberating, because they really do force you to go away and kind of what if and yes and all the possible different questions you could ask or solutions that you could arrive at.
I love that, the assumption that you're going to play the music in order and you're like, no, I'm going to play it backwards and see what it sounds like, and you don't know where it's going to end, but it might learn, it might be that the music is brilliant played backwards or not, but you don't know until you give it a go. I think about reverse engineering a workshop. So you start with the end of the workshop and then work your way back, because I'm not sure if it'll work, or in an interview maybe. But it might help us to think about beginning with the end in mind, if nothing else. So one of my favorite subjects to think about for music and business analysis is standards and notation. And it's been touched on ever so briefly, but I think there's a huge parallel between sheet music is a standard that can be applied for jazz, for hip hop, whatever genre of music, classical, it's the same notation to document the music. And so that constraint means that we've got an ability, whichever genre of music, to share it with someone else. And I think that there's a huge parallel within business analysis techniques, and that the availability and reuse of standards is for me an enabler of collaboration in business analysis, and particularly in things like requirements engineering, process engineering, and business architecture. Those standards are really, really useful. Stu, do you agree, disagree? Am I going off on too much of a tangent?
Oh, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Wow. BPMN is my sort of go-to example in the BA world of... Yeah, there are standards there. There are rules. There is a syntax. I think that, yeah, it's a really close parallel to written sheet music.
Yeah.
And the benefits it brings around kind of portability, the ability to share with others. Other people can pick up what you were doing. You can work with others so much more effectively by sticking within the standard. But I haven't ever advocated and wouldn't for it being a cage and always needing to stay within those rules. There is more of a sort of scaffold, and there will be scenarios where a different approach is more appropriate and more useful. I mean, there are types of music that the standard kind of five-line stave doesn't handle. You know, you can have microtonal music that doesn't fit the notes that we're used to in Western music. So yeah, pick your tool and your standards can be a huge support there, but they're not yeah. Okay.
And adapt around it, or riff, I think is the term that you've been using. And I'm not competent enough to know what riff means, but I think it's flexing, is it, around the standard and whatever is expected. But yeah, riff. Adapt the technique, and that book, the 123 techniques, and I know because I'm one of the authors, but the I'm sure the other authors, they will have their own opinions, but when you're looking at any documented tool or technique, the author is trying to help you to use it, to pick it up, but they're not trying to put you in a cage. And you adapt the application of that technique to your context. It has always been my view. Right, so we're coming towards the end. Let me go to Claire, first of all. Any final thoughts, music and business analysis, anything that you wanted to touch on that we haven't touched on just yet?
Oh God, there's a million things, but I'll just settle on one. The concept of unlearning. As a classically trained pianist, you're taught precision and you have to get the notes right. But when you move to blues, because you can't bend a string on a piano in the way that you can on a guitar, we play stuff that's called crush notes, where you may hit two notes together or you'll flick off a note, because what you're trying to do is replicate that sound of a bent note. Now, that's really, I have to practice that in and be very mindful about it, because I'm effectively unlearning my classical technique in order to play confidently in a completely different technique, which was a sort of technique that people learnt by doing and listening to each other and not by having lessons. So wow. I think, I guess the analogy with BA work is, you know, always be afraid to question everything and go back to basics. And if you're picking a technique, don't just learn the technique, maybe read into it a little bit and learn a bit about, well, what body of work did that come from? And you know, is there a wider body of knowledge around that technique that can really bring some insight that might help you to apply it more effectively?
I love that, because Claire, you're making me think to, I think I should ask Stu to draw a process map without using BPMN, just so you can unlearn BPMN, try a different standard. I think you'd love it. I think that would be your highlight of your year, your career, using UML or a different notation standard. But yeah, you made me think about that. Right. Dom, any final thoughts? Anything you wanted to add? Music and business analysis? What was the one other thing that you wanted to mention?
Just talking about standards, and this struck me that there is the sheet music, but there's also learning by ear. And so the early blues and jazz musicians, well, there was sheet music, but they often, the music was so complex, they'd have to listen to the LP. So listen to it, you know, over and over and over again. So I guess the analogy there with BA is that, yeah, there are the standards, there is the literature, there are the techniques, but also to see someone else using them in action, I guess the equivalent of playing it by ear, I think is very helpful. But I also wrote down a quote by Charlie Parker, the saxophonist, which I think relates to all we've been saying. He said, "You've got to learn your instrument, then you practice, practice, practice. And then when you finally get up there, forget all that and just wail." So it's basically, you have all that sort of knowledge and expertise, and, you know, you're so practiced. And when you're actually performing as a BA or as a musician, you're in the moment. You've done enough work to actually be in the moment and just let all that knowledge and expertise just be in the background.
Wow. Well, it's quite profound. I'm not sure how Stu's going to top that, because I've got to go to him now to say, Stu, any final thoughts? But that's really tough, because you've just given a quote and quite some profound philosophical views. Stu.
This might be part of the way into achieving being able to do that, being able to just wail. And it touches on something Claire spoke to earlier about there are only so many things you can do in music. There are only so many notes. There are only so many chord progressions. But it's sort of how you string them together. And so if you can master all of those components, then you can just focus on how you're going to string them together, how you can use them, string them together creatively. You can improvise, or you can play, you know, those great standards, and whether that's classical, whether that's jazz, you're equipped with the tools then. So yeah, I guess fill out your toolbox.
Yeah, brilliant. I just want to say thank you, Dom, suggesting this topic, Claire, Stu, for joining and sharing your insights. So thank you. I hope listeners have enjoyed it and learned something as well, either about music or business analysis or both. And I think this is a great example of a listener of the BA Brew suggesting an idea. And then it's taken us a while to get this one recorded on, so thank you for your patience with that one. But We do really welcome the ideas. So if you've got an idea, you're listening in and thinking, I want to talk about, I think this would be really useful for other business analysts or change professionals, do email us. It's babrew@siskd.com. Please do like, share, subscribe the episode. And finally, enjoy the outro music, because Dom is playing the outro music in just a second. Thank you very much.